One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
I'm tired of you painting me like a loser.
I never
painting me like no, like okay. A nerd.
Okay, I'm not. I didn't mean outlandish as in like
then what did you
odd.
Mean?
You know his pants fell in public the other day. He literally got pantsed by just the air the other day.
Listen.
He had two coffees in his hand and his pants just fell.
Things happen.
What was your reaction when it fell?
I was like, oh no.
Hello, friends and family. For this episode of Difficult Dish, we will be talking about pop culture and current events, things that are going on in today's world. Do you want to hear us talk about Luigi Mangione? Do you want to hear us talk about Blake Lively? Do you want to hear us talk about the world of chess? So many things that y'all are interested in. That's only a couple. We got so many more in this jam-packed, very funny episode of Difficult Dish. So without further ado, let's get into it. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of our podcast Difficult Dish, hosted by myself, Masha Munir, and my co-host
Mahua Khan.
And it's a podcast about different South Asian narratives, and we're so happy that you're here.
You don't want to show off your coffee of the day?
Before we get any further, like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate the podcast, review the podcast.
It's simply free.
This cold brew wasn't expensive.
Yeah.
Oh well. What's up?
You're like cold brew boy?
Yeah, nitro. There's
Why do
difference.
You like that? Because
There's
it tastes
nitro.
So gross to the normal.
Oh my god.
Okay,
it's
let me
nitrogen
explain.
Infused.
Let me
it's nitrogen infused.
Oh god,
the nitrogen
goes.
Makes
okay.
The cold brew smoother because typically cold brew is a little bit stronger, you
okay,
know, heavier
I
on
understand.
The palate. But nitrogen really cuts down
I
like
understand
the bitterness.
The science behind it because you make sure everyone and their mom knows. But why do you like it? Because it doesn't taste good. I understand it's like an acquired taste that you keep saying, but like you understand that not many coffee shops hold it for a reason because no one likes drinking it.
That's
so
not
why
true
is that
because
like
these
it?
These goddamn northerners just haven't caught up, you know, with the times yet. You
but
know, like it's in.
That?
It's just like New York isn't there yet.
Okay.
You understand? Florida knows what's going on.
Because
you know,
Florida doesn't have anything besides coffee shops.
No,
because
they have taste, okay?
Okay.
They have a nice palate.
What's going on with you?
You know, just out here. Doing the podcast, going back to Florida in a couple days,
yeah,
and then Atlanta, and then Orlando, then New York, then Orlando,
a lot of
then
traveling,
New York.
Huh? Against your will or
time.
Like voluntary?
Nah. So here's the thing. I love this podcast, and it's so much fun doing this podcast.
Right.
But I have such a busy month.
Yeah.
And I have so many. I still haven't DJed in so long. I haven't done so many things in so long.
Yeah.
But you know, like the new year is all about perseverance, mm-hmm, and trying to remain as consistent as possible when life throws you hurdles. You know.
Wow.
You jump over the hurdles. You jump over the hurdles.
Yeah.
You understand what's
and
going
it,
on?
And you have to prioritize like the things that you want to do even when life does throw you hurdles.
That's true.
Instead of making excuses all the time. You understand
what
about
was that felt like a little like subtweet.
No, there was no subtweet, just like
no,
an underlying message
little,
was
like,
there
direct,
you know
what's the underlying message.
So anyway, jokes aside,
no more joking,
what are we talking about in this
I
episode?
Have no idea.
Okay, so
you
I'll
tell
explain
me. Go ahead.
We are going to break down current events and pop culture references in the current society right now. Wow. Because the thing is, Mashun and I have completely different algorithms, okay? Something that I think is common and everybody knows about, he has no idea about at all, right? And it just makes me think, like, oh, if he doesn't know about it, then there's probably other people that also don't know about it that need a little breakdown for a dummy and would like to be, you know, in the world of current events, pop culture.
Again. You're just so niche in, like, everything that you consume. I'm not niche. Like, it really is. Everything it's really, like, is... I have no idea, like, what
so any Mashun of this... has only watched two shows in his life, right? Prison Break and SpongeBob. So, and the thing is, only has he watched only those two shows in his life, he constantly brings up only those two references in his life,
true.
Right?
That's not true.
And the thing is, you know, life keeps on moving beyond 2005, right? You yell at me for only listening to Jonas Brothers in One Direction when you're literally... He was watching SpongeBob the other day for
enough,
New Year's Eve.
Enough.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that he's stuck, right? He's stuck and he's under a rock. So he doesn't understand that there are other shows and other things on top of that. And now in his adult years, he still watches SpongeBob and things like that. But now he's in the niche of chess and battle rap, right?
I do more than that, okay?
Okay, understandable. But the thing is, Mashun and I, we have, you know, we go back and forth sometimes with, like, our own pop culture and references and things like that. Just to, like, talk out loud and, like, hear each other's thoughts in the respective fields.
Yeah.
So he'll tell me something outlandish in whatever field that I have no idea on. And I'll tell him something.
I'm tired of you painting me like a loser.
Painting me like
a nerd.
Okay, I'm not. I didn't mean outlandish as in, like, what did you odd. Mean? I meant outlandish as in out of my fields. Come on.
Understood.
All right. So do you you have some, like, things you want to talk about or not?
I got a couple, yeah. Okay. I got a couple that are, like, true to me, real to me. I'm excited to share. But, you know, I don't want to give too much because, you know, like, y'all gonna get bored.
No, but this is our podcast, so we can talk.
This is our podcast. Yeah. We should also try to talk about something brown too. I don't know if you thought of anything brown. I'll try.
I didn't.
All right. You wanna start?
You wanna go first?
You can go first. So make it a good one, like the juiciest one you have, though. Okay. Like the group that you have.
Okay, so again, like, I have to break it down for him because he has literally no idea of any of these people or things. So hopefully, if you have some sort of idea, you don't get too bored. Because again, I'm trying to, like, break it down for a dummy, right?
Yeah.
Break it down for, like, a pop culture.
All right. Okay. I'm not a nerd.
So the first one is the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni drama.
I know Blake Lively.
Who's Blake Lively?
She's the white blonde.
Okay, that doesn't narrow down anyone in Hollywood.
Nah, I know the name.
Okay, she's from Gossip Girl, right? She's the blonde from Gossip Girl. She's married to Ryan Reynolds.
I know Ryan Reynolds.
Who was recently in which movie?
What's it called? Not Spider-Man. Deadpool. Well,
yeah, exactly.
I know that boy. Mint Mobile. I
get that. Exactly, Mint Mobile, the ad that we see everywhere. My boy. Okay, so anyway, she recently starred in a movie with Justin Baldoni. You know who this is?
I don't know.
Okay, why would you? So Justin Baldoni is from the show Jane the Virgin. Okay. He also has, like, a male podcast where he talks about, where he actually had a female co-host.
Same. This is a male podcast with a female co-host.
But on this podcast, he kind of talked about his struggles of being a man, abuse he's faced in the past. He's seen as this very vulnerable, emotionful person in Hollywood who's able to, like, show his feelings. And that's why people characterize him as, like, someone who feels safe, right? Because he's able to talk about these hard topics that men usually don't talk about, right?
Yeah.
So that's how he kind of gets, like, his notoriety. So anyway, he stars in this movie with Blake Lively. He's also the director of this movie for that just came out. It's called It Ends With Us.
Yeah, I heard.
A book adapted into a movie by
Colleen Hoover.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know that one. Exactly, you know that one. Only because of you.
So Hasan Minhaj was also in it. Yeah. So this movie came out in the past few months. So anyway, for the press of this movie, Blake Lively, you know, the blonde white
Gossip
woman.
Girl.
yeah, Gossip Girl. She was seen interviewing for this and people were kind of hating on her. Put the glass down. People were hating on her because the premise of this movie is like domestic abuse and violence and like being in a toxic relationship and how to get out of that, or if you can. And, you know, it's like a hard conversation to have. But also,
yeah, tough.
Blake Lively in the movie, her name is Lily. She owns a flower shop. So when she was interviewing for this movie and in the press release, she was kind of making it very like girly, flowery, like, oh my God, get your girls and come see this movie.
Mm.
Kind of brushing over the main part of the movie, right? Mm, which is the theme. Domestic violence. Yeah. And so people were kind of hating on her, like, oh my God, why is she starring in this? Why is she talking about this movie? Like, it's like a cutesy movie, right?
Right.
It's not.
It's not.
But then people were loving Justin Baldoni because he was bringing up the actual theme of the movie, the important part, which is like the domestic abuse and like putting it in a point of view of like a woman going through it, right? So people are like, oh my God, yes, Justin, yes, right? And even I during this, I was like, oh, why is he like so good at this interview and like talking about the main points? And she was not, right? So come to find out in the last week and a half,
like from today,
yeah,
okay,
Blake Lively sues Justin Baldoni.
Sue
for what, you might ask?
Legal action. I don't know.
Are you asking?
I'll ask.
Okay.
Why?
She is saying that he allegedly was insulting her and harassing her at work, making her feel ugly and fat and not attractive.
That's not
attractive
nice.
Enough for this
I
role,
would never.
And not giving her enough time for like to spend time with her child, her infant. Not following COVID precautions and things like that. So there's like this multiple, like dozens of page documents of evidence, text messages, like all of the things that he's done. And then on top of that, it was revealed that he hired a team and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to defame her image. So while all these interviews to make her look bad and also previous interviews that made her look bad started resurfacing during the promo of this movie, it turned out that he hired people, the same people that Johnny Depp hired against Amber Heard, to make her look bad and boost these videos that harmed her like idea.
There's something going on there.
Yeah.
There's something fishy going on.
So now
we have to get to the bottom of it.
People are like, oh my God, he's like America's sweetheart. We can't believe her, even though there's dozens of pages of arguments and proof. But people have this image of Justin Baldoni because he has like this podcast and he's very vulnerable. And he's like, he would never do that.
I'm there. I get it.
So, but there's also this other group of people who were hating on Blake Lively during this time because there were some problematic interviews and things that she's done. But they're using that as like a way to like, justify to justify that she like deserved this harassment.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
So what are your thoughts?
Has he responded to anything that she said?
So he came back with his own set of like proof and evidence and text messages and things like that.
Saying what? That like she was calling him a fatty too?
No. But like, you know, to show his side of things.
It can be
kind of like like obviously you can take out some evidence to make yourself look good and then
got it.
So he has some of his own like proof and messages and things like that
to
show his side of things. But also, mind you, the whole cast of It Ends With Us unfollowed Justin Baldoni during the press release.
That's the red flag. That's what you call a red flag.
Yeah.
Cuz think about it, they wouldn't unfollow him if he didn't do nothing fishy. So there's something fishy going on.
So there has to be something going on.
You know,
but also some people are saying that Blake Lively is a lot more like famous and wealthier than Justin Baldoni. So she's using that to her advantage and using that to like bury him.
But she wouldn't be doing that if he didn't do no funny business.
Yeah. You know? Her reasoning to this is that like, oh, I'm trying to speak up for other women who couldn't do it and like, you know, putting my foot down to just like harassment at work.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And a lot of people, even though there's so much proof and evidence to this happening, obviously it still has to be taken to court and get proven. But even though there's so much evidence, firsthand text, firsthand evidence, right? People are still refusing to believe Blake because, you know, women are always going to be villainized. But also they're refusing to believe her because this man is seen as like a god, you know? In Hollywood, he's seen as like the good ones, right?
Okay.
And it's just crazy because like it's a red flag to me. Okay. The guys that overly emphasize that they're a nice guy,
my fault,
No, you don't do that. You don't do that. Mm. The guys that overly share that they're a nice guy and that's like their biggest personality
over
trait,
allies.
They're usually not.
Yeah,
they're
like,
usually
like
the opposite.
White saviors, yeah.
So I saw this take on TikTok where people were like, oh, you know, he has this whole podcast. By the way, his co-host, the female, she left. She's not a part of the podcast anymore. So
Justin. Not a good sound,
Justin.
My boy. Not a good sound, my boy.
But you know, people were saying that he, you know, makes it his brand to like speak up for feminist issues and be vulnerable and be the opposite of what like an alpha male is like. Obviously there are people that like genuinely adopt that and they believe it and they are like women's allies, but
he out here doing this funny business.
That's what I'm saying.
Damn, Justin, don't people you dare hit us woman. Up. Justin, don't hit us up. we don't do any of that funny business here. Blake, we're on your side. We're on your side, Blicky.
Blicky.
Yeah, we love women on this podcast.
I love how you only know Blake Lively because of Ryan Reynolds' Mint Mobile.
Yeah, how else would people know her?
Like, why do you live under a rock? Like,
and Deadpool. I knew Deadpool. Deadpool's a great movie. Shout out Ryan.
Watched it?
Of course I've watched
I've
it.
I've never watched it.
Shout out Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's my boy. So, yeah, good story.
Yeah,
good story.
It wasn't really a story. It was more like,
what side are you on?
I'm Wolf or Woman.
Yeah, Blicky. Shout out to her. We're on our side. Yeah, hope she comes to. We have to help her get to the bottom.
How are we gonna?
That's insane.
How are we gonna?
I'll send my people.
Okay.
I have a story.
You have a story.
I have one.
Is it like ultra niche or
no?
Okay.
It's pretty popular.
Okay.
So in the chess world, listen, chess is niche, but it's like a big. It's grown very, 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 very big now.
Right.
So right now there's the world championship going on.
Yeah.
Okay. I just finished.
Okay.
So there's actually two controversies. There's another one that I'll get into. Huh? New York City, Fido. Down the street from me.
You weren't there?
My old office. They asked me to come through. I was like, hey man, sorry, yo, I got record the podcast. They asked me to come through. I said I record difficulties. So the best chess player in the world is named Magnus Carlsen. I think he's like Norwegian or something. Cool guy. He's been like the best for like a long time, and he's like the face of chess. Like he has like ownership in chess.com. He's like the Michael Jordan of chess. Mm. Like he pushes the game of chess forward. You know how, like all like Tiger Woods for golf. Like when you think golf, you think Tiger Woods. Like there are these people that just like push the game forward. You know, like they become bigger than the game, right? So he's like that, Magnus. Yeah. He is in the chess tournament. This chess tournament is run by the organization called FIDE, and FIDE has very strict dress code. Very strict dress code. You gotta look prim and proper, suit, not a tie, but suit.
Why?
Nice shoes. Cause, you know, we talked about this.
Break it down.
When you think of a gamer, the way that they look, what do you think of? Say it.
Sweatsuit.
Big
glasses.
T-shirt, basketball shorts, sandals, no haircut.
Why can't they have
probably no watch?
Okay,
nothing, no belt, just okay. Thugging
just vibes.
It just thugging it. That's what you think about a gamer. Chess doesn't want that because chess is a very refined, classy game. You know, you have class to play chess like me, you understand?
Don't your pants go below your knees?
So they,
you know, his pants fell in public the other day. He literally got pantsed by just the air the other day.
Listen.
He had two coffees. I wasn't there, by the way. I heard about this from a bystander. But, like, he had two coffees in his hands and his pants just fell in public.
I've been in the gym, okay? My shit getting, you know, invisible, okay? So, things happen.
What was your reaction when it fell?
Huh? I was like, oh, no. I don't...
Like, you didn't feel it
I
falling?
Just called... My sister was in front of me. I just called for her help.
You didn't feel it? Like,
I felt it falling. But, you know, I sagged my pants regardless. So, I was just like, oh, a little sag. I'll live. But, God, you know... I wish
a member of a supporter of difficulty saw that one and snapped a little picture.
They would have helped me.
Yeah.
In my time of need.
All right. Anyway,
where was I?
You're talking about how chess is more polished than clothing.
Yeah, like me. So, Magnus Carlsen comes to the tournament wearing jeans.
Mm.
That's a big no-no. He said that, oh, like, he just came from somewhere. He didn't have time to change. He didn't even, like, think. It didn't even come to his mind that he had to change. He just put on, like, his blazer.
Understand.
Bullshit. If you know that there's a dress code, if you don't change, like, no way in your head did you not think about it.
Was he obviously trying to make a statement?
hold on, let me walk you into it.
Okay.
You know, so there are a lot of theories that were coming out. They're like, oh, Magnus thinks he's bigger than the game now. Magnus thinks he could do whatever he wants. Da da da. When he got there, they gave him a warning, they gave him a fine. He's like, all right. But they're like, you have to go change now. And he's like, I don't think so. I'll change tomorrow. He gets kicked out the tournament. And that became a big controversy. And a lot of people were on Magnus's side because they were like, yo, this is a stupid rule. People don't care about what you're wearing to a chess game as long as you don't look like a bum loser. Mm-hmm. You know, you could wear pretty much whatever you want. People just want to watch chess. So that's my first question. What do you think about like really dumb rules and regulations that just happen? Like, you know, when you're like walking in New York City and you see the sign that says no running, why can you not? It's the sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's, you don't own New York.
Mm-hmm.
Why can I not just run here?
Yeah.
So what do you think about just like stupid signs? You think they have to be followed?
Yeah, obviously stupid signs are stupid, right? There's no need for them. But I feel like the dress code is not a stupid sign. I don't feel like that's a rule that shouldn't be followed. Because I think that the dress code plays a huge perception in the game, right? Like what you said, when we think of gamers, we think of like very casual sweatsuit, kind of untamed type of look, right? Which is fine. It's more comfy casual. But if chess, and even like if you go to private school, there's usually a uniform, right? I know you would be the person to be like, I don't want to wear a uniform. Like you did.
Yeah, I was.
I know you were that type of
person. Gotta have stories.
But the thing is, that private school is on the top for a reason. Like you have to get in, you have to pay a crazy amount of money, whatever, you know, the classist high thing of that class, of that school is, right? Same thing with chess. If you don't maintain the dress code, like fashion plays a huge part with like how you perceive something.
What do you think about the consequence though? About like the enforcement? Because you know when police take things too far?
Yeah.
That's like what people are getting upset about. The fine is fine.
They probably felt like if he did continue to play, he would continuously break the rules and people would follow him and make it like a revolution.
All right, then they just stack it up because they're fining everybody.
Yeah, they're fining everyone, but what if people are willing to accept the fines and still continue?
Nah, but only the number one player who's the millionaire out of all chess players. Chess players are not millionaires. They're not going to be paying fines for no reason. Basketball players can pay fines for no reason. Chess players are not going to be paying fines. Anyways, so...
What are your thoughts?
Apart from... I think it's stupid. I think the enforcement was dumb. I think fine him, give him a warning, whatever.
Okay.
But moving forward, they actually let him re-enter the tournament the next day. So he was just he forfeited all the first round games. He goes through the tournament, da da da. The next controversy, he gets to the finals, right? Gets to the finals against this other guy, and how the finals go is like you basically keep playing like until someone wins, right? So like that. So when a game draws, that doesn't count as a win for either one. So essentially, they can go on forever if they keep drawing. If they keep draw until someone wins. No one wins. So they drawed like 9 games in a row. And then eventually Magnus looked at the other guy. He was like, yo, would you be down to just like split the first place? And the guy was like, yeah, sure. And then they asked like the organizers, they're like, yo, can we just split first place? And they're like, all right. And so they split first place.
How do you split first
place? Exactly. And that like set the chess world on fire. Because it was like, imagine splitting first place, the NBA championship. Yeah. We both win.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. What are your thoughts on that? Talk to me.
I don't know if that should be allowed.
Mm.
Because the point of first place is that you compete against each other to get, you know, one winner. So if both of you guys compete, you get everyone's hopes up high. At the end, you're just like, you know what? We both deserve it.
But like if they both agree to it, you know, like,
no, I get that they both agreed to it, but also like maybe they felt under pressure that the other person had to agree. But also like, I don't know, I just feel like it's a letdown.
Exactly.
It just feels like you're getting like a participation award.
I agree.
You know?
So the main conversation for like the chess championship has been Magnus Carlsen thinks he's bigger than the game of chess and thinks that he can run
things. He's like rewriting the rules.
So like, what are your thoughts on, you know, like when you do something for such a long time and you become so famous for it, you feel like you're bigger than it. You feel like you have more control over something than like you actually do. Because on his, from his end, he's like, hey, I am the reason this game is popular. But at the same time, he didn't create the game. Mm. He's not the organizers. He, mm-hmm. you know, this game has been around for so long. And this game is, there are people that play chess. I don't know who Magnus Carlsen is.
He's getting too cocky.
Right.
What, you still a fan?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. You know, that's that boy, Maggie, you know?
Maggie!
But I don't like that. I like people that remain humble. Yeah. You know, I think humility is very, very important. Yeah. You know, this chess has done wondrous things for you. I think this conversation can be translated to anything. You know, it's like, it no matter, like, you think about, like, the world's richest people, a lot of, I'm not gonna say all of them, but, like, some of the world's richest people still remain very, like, charitable.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
And still remain very, like, down to earth. And I'm not even gonna say rich as billionaires, just like wealthy people in general, I guess. Like, I love people that just, like, you know, remain humble. And like,
yeah, we were just talking about that, about Bad Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Bad Bunny. I'm really excited for Bad Bunny's new album. It's very, very authentically Puerto Rican. And, you know, it's like the bigger he gets, the more he remembers where he's from. Yeah. You know, the closer he holds where he's from.
I like that.
You know, so that's essentially my story.
Yeah.
That wasn't too niche, was it?
Was it keeping you up at night?
It really was. That dress code really brought back a lot of memories for me, because I used to, you know, vandalize my dress code all the time. I got stories. Good guy. I think I've told, like, you know, dress code stories. I remember, like, my first dress down day in seventh grade. Dress down day is once a month where you could wear whatever you want. And you were only granted that allowance if you had, like, good grades. So I didn't get too many dress down days at all. And how they would know is, like, the weekend before, or, like, a couple days before, they would have, like, a piece of paper outside, and it would have all the names of students that were allowed to dress down. I never saw my name. I saw my name the very first time.
This is, like, middle school?
Seventh grade. I'll never forget the very first dress down day, my name was on the board. I remember I wore my sister's, my sister's t-shirt, my sister's jeans, and my sister's black and white Converse.
You never thought you would get it, so that's why you just said no clothes. I never, I was like, no,
you don't understand. I had no clothing at all, but I was so excited for dress down day. Everyone called me a girl the entire day, but
at least, was it worth it?
At least I looked fly.
Was it worth it?
Of course it was. At least I looked different, you know, like being unique and, you know, being like, you know, being yourself.
Maybe true, you set like a trend in that school.
I really did. I sent a lot of trends to that school. Shout out Orlando Science School. You know, don't forget where you came from. Right. I would never.
Okay.
You want to go ahead?
I don't know if I can beat that.
I know you can't.
I don't know. I don't know if I can beat that.
It's all about trial and error.
You want to talk about the Luigi Mangione case?
Yeah, go ahead. What's it to say?
So, if you guys haven't heard, has it been 2 months already?
No way.
Since it happened?
No way.
It happened in November or October. No, it happened.
No, it didn't. It happened in December. Are you bugging?
No, it did not.
He died in December. 100%.
No.
All right. Just start.
Anyway, so Luigi Mangione, he was actually born in 98 like us. He's our age.
The boy.
And guess what? He actually also had mutuals with people that I was following because he went to the same college as some of the people I know.
Nice.
But anyway, Luigi Mangione, 26-year-old regular person who allegedly
It's not a legend.
No, it's still a legend because they haven't gotten to court. Okay, but allegedly, the CEO of the insurance company.
You know what's so crazy? What? It happened like 10 blocks away from my office.
Yeah.
I remember like I was with my coworker and he was like, yo, this guy just died. I was like, damn. And he was like, yeah, like our company uses insurance from them. I was like, oh, shit. He was like, yeah, it's probably going to make the insurance policy go crazy. That's why you've
been getting so many insurance.
Nah, literally.
But anyway, he killed the CEO of United Healthcare, right? And he was basically on the run and police finally found him in a McDonald's in Pennsylvania, right? And he had like a manifesto. People tracked him down because of one surveillance photo of him smiling underneath his hood, right? And since then, he has been seen as America's hero. Okay. And it's just so crazy. I don't know if you've seen this on TikTok and Instagram, but like people have made so many AI edits of him and like videos of him on a face, just a random body dancing.
Yeah.
And then random videos are resurfacing of him just helping out humanity. He was a rock climbing instructor. He was like a skateboarder. He read a lot of books. People found like his Goodreads account. And he was just like a normal person that went to like an Ivy League school, went to private school. He was valedictorian. He's from a very wealthy family as well, right? Italian boy, right? And so people are loving him. People are thinking that he's like the Robin Hood of today's day and age. And there's like this question that people are asking, like, oh, is it ever okay to someone, right? Like, is it okay that he did this? Like, do you salute him? And people's response have kind of been the same, but obviously there's a yes or no for every single thing. And people have been saying like, obviously no, we don't ever support the murder of someone, but like it's for a bigger cause, right? It's to like make a statement. Like people are basically saying like, yeah, we would never like do that, we would never support that, but understandably we understand what this is for. Right? So now that Mr. Luigi, our comrade in the same 1998 year, is in court and in jail, you know, waiting trial, people are trying to like predict what's gonna happen, right? Again, he's from a very rich family, a very supportive background, very like educational background, right? People are gonna people are thinking that he's gonna get off the hook. And also people on social media are like, oh my god, he's so attractive, he's done so much good for the society, like he's just gonna get a few pats on the back and then get let loose, right? And then I saw this theory on TikTok that he was like handpicked by like a bigger organization that is like trying to send a message to society. Like he was handpicked from that because he has no like underlying problem with like mental health. He is not brown or black, because that's usually like another way to get someone down in court, right? Or by society. He doesn't have like any criminal record from the past. Like, you know, he has great education. It's not like he's from a poor or bad neighborhood. And those are usually the things that people go for in court, in front of the law, in society. Like, oh, because he was black, this is why he's doing this, and that's why he's gonna go to jail, right? Because he has a mental illness, he did this. It's justified, and that's why he's going to go to jail, right? Because he has none of those, like, underlying things that usually make a criminal bad, you know, in society's eyes. People are saying that he was, like, the perfect person to handpick for this bigger purpose.
Okay.
And the court of law isn't going to find anything, like, sustainable to actually, like, hold him in court long.
Okay.
Like, hold him in jail long.
Yes.
Because he doesn't have, like, something like notably bad that's like will stop him.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like thoughts on that? Like, but this case is getting so much more exposure because it's the CEO of, you know, a big company like this.
I think the only thing that just like upsets me is like the fact that people only care about this because he looks good.
Yeah.
Nobody would give a fuck about any. This would not be on any sort of news if he didn't look good.
Yeah.
he could have the same type of background, exact same type of person, but if you look like a dork nerd, people would not care.
Yeah.
And I think that just annoys me with just like media in general, because it's like I hear all of these like all of these theories and all of these like, you know, new profound ideas that are coming from this, like, oh, like, is this okay? None of this would be happening if he just like didn't look good. You know, I think that is just that is just annoying, because like I think there are valuable like conversations to have from this type of stuff, but nobody would deem any of it valuable.
But it's similar to like the same like Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni case. Like, he is seen as conventionally attractive and successful in Hollywood, so people don't want to attach him to this crime. And same thing with Luigi, and the same thing with previous cases like Ted Bundy or like the Menendez brothers. They were seen as attractive by media and in society, so they were not seen as like killers or, you know, like actual villains, even though they were.
You see, he got like charged for like terrorism too.
Who?
Luigi.
Did he?
Yeah, like some, he got like act of terror, murder for terror, or something like that. Mm. Like, that's terrorism. School shooters are just mentally ill.
That's what I'm saying. Like, terrorists. My next thing that I wanted to bring up real quickly before you say your thing, because it's related to this Luigi case, is that, and I think it's very prevalent since we live in New York City, right? There have been so many surges. I feel like there are random surges every couple of months. It's just crazy.
Mm.
Of random attacks and murders in the subways, and just, you know, running over people and this and that, happening in specifically New York City, but like a lot of major cities. And, you know, like the person that set a woman on fire on the subway and things like that. Obviously, we saw it in media for the most part, but it definitely doesn't have the same exposure as like this Luigi Mangione case. And I feel like these murders that are happening to these everyday people, they don't get exposure because they're just everyday people. They don't matter as much to people in society. Like, people don't care. But since this murder happened to the CEO, he's getting all this exposure,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just not fair, because like, you know, for the everyday people of New York City, like, we don't feel safe going into the subway, just going to work, going to class, whatever, because these things keep on happening without really any sort of solution. So like, do you like see yourself living in New York City for the near future?
Yeah. I mean, I know that there are bad things that happen in New York City. Like, I never thought of it as the safest place in the world.
Yeah.
So even if there is like an uptick in like, unfortunately, crimes that are going on, like, that isn't gonna sway my opinion on New York. So I don't think that's gonna change anything. But yeah, it's you know, I think what's it called, like the founder or like some C-suite level of like Cash App also got murdered in San Francisco, and like,
really?
Yeah, no one's like talking about
that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, like there's so much shit that's going on, and I also don't like that like people are like, like, oh, like, this murder was, like, done in good vein because, like, it's going to spark up conversation. It's not going to spark up nothing. Like, there's
you
no...
You think it's not?
There's no change. Like, yeah, people are going to talk about, oh, like, these healthcare CEOs have too much power and they are guilty of, you know, doing, like, so many, like, treatment denials that people end up dying for. All true. But, like, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. I think that has been, like, my... What pisses me off personally about like political movements or like societal movements like this, that just like a lot, most 99% of the time, they literally end up doing nothing. And like, we live in such like a come and go time where like, you know, ideas or like new trending topics will come and like people will completely forget about it in 2 or 3 days when, yeah, like the next thing is hot. So yeah, I mean, like, people have their opinions on it. I could really care less. I'm not going to say that, like, him dying was good or bad. I like that there are just more eyes on the fact that, like, healthcare is fucked up in our country. I think that is good. And
I think that's the point of it,
though. I hope there is some change that comes out. I don't think there's going to be change that comes out of this. But I think, like, this just sparks more conversation on, like, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
Because healthcare is a lot.
Yeah,
healthcare is expensive.
I had to deal with a lot of healthcare problems the past year, and it was so stressful, and I didn't even have any like crazy health affecting issues like that, but even then it was such a problem to get the help that I wanted and to pay for it and this and that. So I can't even imagine people that are having like, you know, end of life type of issues.
Yeah.
You know, near death experiences.
Shit crazy. Shit
anyway, crazy. You have your last
I got one.
Last one you want to talk about?
I got one.
Damn, we've been yapping for a while.
I got one.
Time flies when you're just yapping about
bullshit. We just watched Squid Game.
Oh yeah, we did.
We just watched.
Wait, is this gonna have spoilers?
No spoilers. No spoilers. Okay. I'm not gonna get into like the just like some that came out of it.
If you're not gonna give spoilers, then I will.
All right. So sorry. Time to click off. No spoilers.
No, I won't.
No.
Okay. I don't even know what that was.
I was gonna say someone died, but okay. So we watched the game, season 2, 7 episodes, kind of short. But the first episode, I've been thinking about the first episode a lot.
Why?
The first episode was titled Bread or Lottery. You remember the scene, right?
I do.
It was a scene where...
This isn't spoiling anything, by the way.
It's not spoiling. It's the first episode. Where the first... the bad guy, he goes around a park that has a lot of homeless people. And he goes up to each person. And he offers them bread or a lottery ticket. And all of the homeless people pick the lottery ticket. All of them end up losing. He ends up destroying all the bread in front of the homeless people. And he's like, oh, you guys made this choice. You guys made this choice. You could have picked bread, but now there is no bread. And mm-hmm. it is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he is the one that destroyed all the bread, he's like, this is your fault mm-hmm. that you don't have the bread. And I just thought it was very interesting. And it got me thinking a lot about, you know, growing up in poverty and a lot about lottery tickets. Because as y'all know, I used to be, you know, captain of the gas station when I was 11, 12 years old. And I had my fair share of selling lotto tickets. And we haven't talked about this a lot on the podcast. I don't think it's worth the whole episode. But brown people love their lottery tickets. You know, brown people love their lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Especially the poor brown people, that they love their lottery tickets. A lot of come through the gas station. I saw it happen. You know, I sold these lottery tickets. I've seen people buy these lottery tickets, scratch it right in front of me, win nothing, and then like cry out the door because that was the last dollar, you know. And I just thought it was really interesting, like how like in the episode his take was like, oh, like this is your fault. And it just got me thinking about how, like, you know, someone who's growing up impoverished, when it's very interesting how they will look at like a piece of bread and they'll look at a lottery ticket and they will see more value in the lotto ticket purely because of the chance of a large return,
mm-hmm.
to where they look at something that would give them a small instant amount of return, being the bread, and they look at something that is an astronomical shot at a large return, they look at that as more valuable,
right?
You know, and I just thought it was very interesting because I grew up pretty low income and there were a lot of situations where I would have more hope in like the possibility of something happening than like actually, you know, working for something or actually taking like the small steps, you know. And like rich people look down on poor people a lot of the time. You know, we think about America, we think about capitalism, we think about capitalists are always like, oh, like in America, you always have the opportunity to, you know, everyone has the opportunity to do ABC, which is true. But I think rich people have the problem of looking at poor people and thinking that they have the same mindset as the rich person. When a poor person finds value in just the intangible, like astronomical chance in things, because they are so deep down in like whatever they're going through, you can hand them bread, you can hand them this or that, but that doesn't, it's not valuable for them because they're just so like far away from any sort of chance or opportunity. So it just had me thinking a lot. And yeah, I just want like, you know, your thoughts on like lotto tickets or just like the show in general. The show in general is about, you know, all these poor people are giving this shot to make millions of dollars with the chance of dying, with the very probable chance of dying.
Yeah.
So like, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this entire show, I mean, again, we're not spoiling anything, especially if you watch season one, you know that this is like an entire game where all these people are competing to win billions of dollars, one. And only one person can win, but that means everyone else has to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just shows that, like we're very judgmental from the outside because we're like, oh my God, why are people risking their lives to win this much money? When if you are down that deep in a hole where you feel like there's no, you have no will to live and you are owing this much money to whoever person, you're willing to do whatever it takes to get to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people can't put their morals and ethics in with their who they are if they are going through something like that. Like we can try our best to like understand what they're going through, but you can't, right? So it's just very interesting because like you feel like as you move towards this game and if you survive each round more and more and there's less people around you because more people have died playing this game, you feel like there's more of a chance for you to win because you already got this far. So I really like how the show has like this probability type of aspect where it's like, oh, you have 1 in 6 chance type of chance to win. But then if you make that bigger, if you multiply that, it's really not that high of a chance, right? And so it boggles my mind that, like what you said, a lot of immigrant parents buy these lotto tickets and they have like 1 in 1 million, 1 in 1 billion chance of winning. They still have like this need to do it because they're like, oh, it could actually be me, you know?
It's not even like the lower chance. It's like, it's the fascination with the illusion of chance.
Yeah.
Because you know? Like at the end of the day, like if you're buying a lotto ticket, realistically you have no chance that you're gonna win this, but it's the illusion of chance that just fascinates so many people, and that like that is what takes over their mind. That's what happens in Squid Game, is like you become fantasized with like this obscene possibility that is not gonna come true. And it's like, it just had me thinking about like in the case of the show, like the bad guy, or in real life, just like rich people who just look down upon poor people because they're like, oh, it's your choice to be poor. But a lot of the time, like, these poor people don't have a choice because they are just caught in, like, this cycle of, like, illusion of, like, something can happen. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, stuck in a cycle. So, like, and that feeds into, like, so many other, like, possibilities with conversations with, you know, why certain communities have been withheld for, like, decades and decades. And, yeah, there will be, like, the standalones that are able to, like, climb their way out of like their community, but for the most part, like it's bigger than like the choices of the person. It's like, what is wrong with the community? What is wrong with like the mindset that's being fed to them, and just like so many things. So I just thought that was like kind of interesting, you know. Yeah. But good show, good season. Check it out. We're not spoiling nothing, but you know, check it out. If you, and you know, let's see.
There's
thoughts.
Apparently
let's
a thoughts. Season 3 coming out.
There definitely is. There has to be.
Has to be.
I gotta know what happened next
after that ending.
Yeah.
That was good. We yapped a lot.
Yeah, good. What you want?
What was your favorite one?
I like the chess. You got another one? You want?
No, I don't got another one. I had 3.
You said two.
I said 3.
You most definitely said 2.
I said the Justin Baldoni, the New York City thing, and the Luigi Mangione.
Oh, I thought that was the New York one.
You
did a little combination.
Yeah, I told you. I was like, oh, while we're on the note of that, I just want to add this in.
Oh, then I want to talk to him on that more. I thought it was more on the Luigi thing.
Oh, I'm not important.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good episode. We got no responses because we didn't really, you know, this was just
yeah,
kind
this
of
one
us.
Was just us. Like, speaking
but
of the
follow
dump.
Us on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Difficult Dish, we always ask you guys to, you know,
send in
your
responses so you can be featured.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know if you like this one. I think we enjoy talking about, you know, God knows what. I have a lot more I could talk about, but you know, I don't want to bore y'all too much battle rap.
Yeah, there's so much that he talks about.
A lot.
I love it, truly.
Okay.
No, actually, I love it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Tell us your advice.
A few episodes ago, I made a statement. I would like to retract it. I said that getting your hair cut every 3 months is a scam. And they said that just to, like, get money out of you. But I truly believe that some people don't have, you know, the healthiest hair. Sometimes they get more split ends than others. Sometimes their hair is more bleached or dyed. And they need to get that haircut to maintain the lusciousness, health of it, right? So I support getting haircuts every, maybe not every 3 months if you don't actually need it. Maybe, like, at least every 4 to 6 months, you know.
4 to 6.
Try to put it, like, into your routine. Because I'm finally getting my first haircut. After over a year, So just know that.
That's a long time.
I'm going to come back transformed after this.
Long time. Long time, not going to lie to you.
Yeah. How about yours?
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
How often do you get haircuts?
Like once every 2 months, 3 months, four. No?
You got a haircut last time after 8 months.
That's because I was growing it out.
No, you weren't. You just never went. No,
I
was.
My haircut before that, I got like a little taper. Okay. And then I grew out to, you know, like the luscious flow.
Okay.
Now I got the flow going on, so I don't got to cut too often because the flow maintains. But when I do the little taper fade action.
Do you have a 10-second edit? No.
Some that like my sister told me. It's very silly, but it's very practical. I've been doing it a lot. If you have a problem adding vegetables to your dishes, just buy frozen vegetables. You don't got to worry about chopping nothing. You don't got to worry about cooking nothing. If you're making like a stir fry, noodles, pot, whatever it is, buy some frozen vegetables, put
and
them on the oven.
And they last longer.
They cook like 2-3 minutes. You're good. Now you got your veggies in. Yeah. You understand?
You've been practical. Using it a lot more too.
Yeah, practical tip.
Good one.
You understand?
You got a Bangla word of the day?
My Bangla word for the day is shobji.
Shobji.
Vegetables. Get that in. Get that in. You understand? Thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode of Difficult Dish this week. Please like the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, do everything.
Everything.
And
it's free.
Most importantly.
And it doesn't take long.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We love you guys so much. Allah Hafiz.